Praise God. So just a couple things really quick that I wanted to hit on as far as YEX camp, all right? So I just want to just really pray about it. If you know of a teenager that would like to go, or I'm just praying that everyone would get connected this year and be able to go to camp. It was 2 weekends ago, we ended up going up to YEX to just do a planning meeting. And at the time, last year we took 40-some students to be able to go to the camp. And so we went up a couple weekends ago, and we only had 15 people signed up at the time to go to YEX, but I just felt from the Lord, I turned in a deposit for 60. And I remember coming back, and there was a couple people like, do you even have 60 kids, like, attending to your weekly service? Like, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, God's going to do it. I believe in it. And praise God, 2 weeks later, we have 47 signed up to be able to go. So we're going to hit it, and I'm excited for that. So please be praying about that just to be able to get connected. This year, I'm excited to, this summer, we're going to be doing a whole lot. We were praying about putting together, like, a two-day-a-week internship with the youth group because we're doing the opening for the whole camp. So last year we were a little bit involved, but this year on opening night we're actually doing the opening skit and the drama for it. So that's gonna take a lot of work and prayer that goes into that. But it's just exciting to see all the things that God is doing. So thank you so much for sowing the seed. But this was graduation weekend, and so we had graduates all over in a bunch of different schools. I remember a couple years ago feeling like there was mostly all of the students were from Palmetto Ridge High School. And I remember praying, like, Lord, I want hands and feet in every high school. And this year, we had graduations all over, but there was like three different ones at the same exact time. So literally, like, my schedule on Friday, I'm like, okay, Lord, if I can get over here at this time, maybe I can run over here and make it to this one and then try to make it back over here to this one. And you try to be at everything, but it's just amazing to see what God is doing. And just to bring some clarity on the kids that graduated and the age that they are, a lot of times you think of, like, the year 2000, 2001, you think, well, that was like yesterday, right? Because you say 2000s. It doesn't seem like that long ago, right? But all the kids that graduated were born in the year 2000, 2001, or 2002. All right, so if that makes you feel old, all right? So you go back 18 years, and just a few quick things that I wanted to share. I was like, okay, Lord, what was big back then? But the number one song in the country was Hanging by a Moment by Lifehouse, all right? The first Shrek movie was released in theaters. All right. Friends was still the biggest TV show on TV, and the Motorola Razr phone had just been released. Anybody have the Motorola? Yeah, you didn't have iPhones back. It's crazy how much technology has just increased even in the last 5 to 10 years. But Tom Brady was still winning Super Bowls. All right, so he had won his first Super Bowl that year. So 18 years later, he's still winning Super Bowls. The first Apple iPod was released, all right? So the iPod before the iPhone was released, and so all these different things, but this was also the birth of the next generation, not even millennials. So we lump everybody together that's under the age of 30 and say millennials, but they said, okay, this is the next generation, which is Generation Z, which is the technology generation. All right, because everything is technology. But I wanted to be able to celebrate the seniors. So if you graduated this year, can you go ahead and stand up? If you were a graduate, college or high school, you graduated this year, can you stand up? Let's give them a great big hand. You guys are amazing. But we wanted to give you guys a gift and just pray over everyone. So if you were a high school or college graduate, we want to be able to present you guys with a gift this morning. So if you guys can go ahead and come on up. Come on, let's celebrate them again as they make their way up. We want to get you. Come on, Mia. Come on. I'll call you. Oh, come on. So who likes coffee in this group? No coffee drinkers? It's a big thing, and it's like, oh, let's go to Starbucks. So there's a Yeti inside of there, a personalized Bible, and some notes as well. So we just wanted to celebrate you guys this morning. And church, can you just reach forth your hands as we just pray over this group? Father, we thank you, God, for each and every graduate this year, God. We thank you for their lives, God, and they are a generation, God, that is going to change the world. God, and we declare it, God, that they are going to continue to stay strong, just plant their feet, and God, that they're going to stand up for the gospel. God, they're going to continue to move forward. God, these are life changers, God. These are world changers, and we thank you for it, God. We thank you for who they are, God, that you have many, many plans for them, God. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to take them to the ends of the earth, God, that you're going to continue just to move in their lives. And we just bless them. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate them again. Amen, amen, amen. And there's a drawstring bag for anybody that likes working out. Is there anybody that likes working out in this place? Yeah, there's a few. So real quick story, and we're going to get into the word. After Easter, there was a group of us that decided we have to start working out, because I ended up doing this spoken word on Easter, and I about fell over because I didn't have any breath. And I'm like, Lord, this is not okay. So there was a group of us that started working out, because as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And so, yeah, amen. Who's ready to get in the word? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So with Carbon Student Ministries, our theme scripture, which is on those bags that we just presented, is Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And so Hebrews 12 is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. And a couple weeks ago, I put on Facebook, what's your favorite chapter? And a lot of people chimed in. There was a lot of just back and forth, everyone sharing their favorite verses. And and this was just... I remember the first time, not the first time reading it, but the first time that this chapter really came alive in my heart. And it was in one of those set-apart classroom settings where Miss Gail was sharing about discipline and keeping our eyes set on Jesus. And it just came alive in my heart, and realizing that if I'm going to walk this thing out, it's going to take some discipline. And God's going to do his part, but I need to do my part. Amen? And walking this thing out. And that's something else that I'm praying for the next generation. We keep discipline. Amen. We have to keep the discipline. And so Carbon Student Ministries, it's short for Carbon Copies of Jesus. And and what that looks like. So when we were praying about the theme scripture, I ended up Googling carbon on the periodic table. Because I'm like, okay, we wanted to do different t-shirts, and we're like, what's this going to look like? And I'm like, I needed some confirmation that this is the route we were going, and if we have that picture. So it showed up, this was on Google, and you had the C for carbon, but then the atomic mass number was 12.01. And so for Hebrews 12:1, I was like, amen, God, that's where we're going. That's like perfect confirmation. And so Hebrews 12 talks about five things that I really was like, okay, this is what I want us to be known for. Number one, keeping our eyes set on Jesus. Amen. Being encouragers to one another. Understanding who our Father is and where our identity comes from. Disciples and having discipline in our lives. And number five, the chapter actually ends talking about the presence of God and receiving his fire. Amen. So when we were putting this together, you couldn't put the whole chapter in there. So we shortened it to the first two verses. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and every sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes set on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And the New Living Translation actually says, the champion of our faith. Amen. So I have a little bit of an illustration that we're going to use a couple times here. So just work with me here. This is going to be a finish line. All right. So we're going to work with that today. But how my study Bible actually states that this passage is using the analogy of a race, and it's describing earlier heroes in the faith seated in a stadium, as it were, cheering us on to the finish line. But why would a cloud of witnesses, Right? Why would a cloud of witnesses help us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us? It's encouragement. If you think of a stadium full of people that are cheering, we're cheering each other on. And this weekend, when I was going around to the different graduation ceremonies, you saw that in full effect, where there was a stadium, Hertz Arena, full of people. Do we have just the picture, guys? So this was Palmetto Ridge's graduation, and all the graduates, but the stadium was completely full. And when every single one of those kids were coming across to get their diploma, there was just a roar, a celebration. And the church should be the front runners in this and celebrating each other and lifting each other up and saying, come on, you can do this. Keep your eyes set on Jesus. Continue to run this race. You can do this. And in encouraging one another. And you saw that the parents and the friends and everybody that was there at the graduation just celebrating each other and encouraging one another. Real quick, there's a clip from Friday at Sierra's graduation that I took of. Everybody. And I see that and I'm like, man, what if the church was like this? Like, what if the church was like this, where we were celebrating each other and saying, come on, you can do this. Yeah, you may have fell, but you can get back up and keep going. You can keep going. Get to the finish line. Get to the finish line. You know, and we should be. We should be the leaders in that, right? We should be each other. We should be in each other's corner, cheering each other on, being each other's biggest cheerleaders. And a couple weeks ago, Miss Gail posted this video talking about the same subject. Of this little boy who was in karate class. He was trying to break this little piece of wood, and he couldn't do it, and he starts crying, but everybody in the room, instead of laughing at him, they encourage him, so I wanted to show this video. It's powerful.
Bring it up hard
and bring it down fast.
Hard and fast. Let's go, boy.
Don't fall. You gotta stay on your feet. Come on.
Phoenix, go straight through all the doors. Get that
back up. Back up.
Fighting
says
a good one. Now hit hard.
Come on,
be there. Hit it with the heel. Hit it with the heel. Yes, you can do it. Come on. Yes, you can do it. But you gotta do this now. Look at me. You have to hit it hard, though. You cannot hit it light. You have to hit it hard. Go.
Beat it.
That's not hard. You touch it.
Beat it. Beat it. Beat it. Beat it. Beat it. Beat it.
That's what the church should look like. Surrounded by a body of believers, encouraging one another. Keep the faith. Keep going. Set your eyes on Jesus. You got this. You stumbled. Get up. Keep going. And this little kid that was crying, if everybody in the room, once he felt like he couldn't break that little piece of wood, if everyone in the room started laughing at him, he would have never broken that piece of wood. Right? I take it a step further and say, if everybody in the room was just silent, I don't know if he would have broke that piece of wood. It's celebrating each other, encouraging one another. You got this. Keep going. Keep going. When we're walking this thing out. Abby, come here. Come here. Come over here. Come over here. When you're walking this thing out and you're saying, hey, keep your eyes set on Jesus. Don't look to the right or left. You're going, and look, oh, you start to go a little off. It's not, oh, shame on you. No, no, you got this. Come on. Keep going. Keep going. You stumble and fall. Oh, and there's people in your corner. Get up. Get up. Keep going. You got this. Get to the finish line. That's what it should look like. Amen? Continuing to encourage one another. Where you got a group of people praying for you in your corner.
Come on.
Saying, you know what, behind the scenes, let's come on, let's go. Let's get after it. Amen? Encouragers. You're almost there. when we accomplish great things for God, a church that celebrates each other instead of grumbling like, well, why hasn't God done that for me? No, like, celebrate each other. But if we're going to truly celebrate and encourage one another, we have to love. We have to love. We have to do it in love. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love, but before it talks about what love is, it talks about how you can do all of these spiritual gifts, do all of these things, but if you do all these things without love, you've done nothing. You have nothing. Starting in verse 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am not only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts. Love always hopes. It always perseveres, because love never fails. In 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows of God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So, I'm going to pull this together, I promise. There's a picture of the 1972 Miami Dolphins team. All right, so any football fans in the house, okay? So this team right here, undefeated, this was the only team in professional football in the history of professional football that's ever went undefeated. The only team to finish undefeated. Now, can you imagine being on this team? Like, you'd have some bragging rights. Like, yeah, Tom Brady's never went undefeated, right? Like, like you'd have those bragging rights. You're the only team in history that's been undefeated. But guys, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, and he becomes Lord and Savior over our lives, we've now joined God's team. And guess what? God's team is undefeated. Amen? So he's representing us, and we're part of God's team. We're part of who's undefeated. And so no matter what you're going through, so if love never fails and God is love, then God never fails. Right? He's undefeated, and we're playing on his team. So you can take this scripture, and I've done this in the youth ministry, where you take out the word love in the scripture and you replace it with God. So knowing who God is patient, God is kind, God does not envy, God does not boast, God is not proud, God does not dishonor others, God is not self-seeking, God is not easily angered, God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres, because God never fails. Amen. When we get that into our hearts and understand that we're part of God's team, we're on his team, we're undefeated because of him. He can get us through anything. But we have to celebrate and encourage each other. And if we do so, we have to do it in love. In Matthew 22, verse 36, the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus to slip up here and pull a little trick. But, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love others. Love God and love others. To encourage one another, we have to love. Amen? Love God and love others. But all the commandments have to do with love. Right? When you're talking about truly loving God. So if you love God, you won't steal. Right? Simply put, if you love God, you won't commit adultery. Right? If you love God, you'll honor your parents, students. Right? If we love God, you won't murder someone. Right? You can go down the list. If you love God, you won't abort. I shared this last service, but seminary with they're teaching young preachers to stay away from three things: hell, stay away from controversial topics, and political topics. All right, my response to that would be what if it was biblical before it was political, right? So what if it's biblical, and it's the Bible, it's God's word, it's gonna stir a little bit of controversy, right? But are we bold enough to stand up? But here's the thing: we have to do it in love, guys. We have to share it in love, and this is a topic that's really close to my heart. We have to share it in love, because if I'm gonna stand up here and say that abortion is wrong, I have to be the first one to get on my knees and weep with somebody that's had an abortion. We have to do it in love. Why? Jesus would. We have to be there for one another. Guys, it's the hottest topic in America this last month, right? It's all over the news. It's all over social media. But not too many churches want to even touch it. Like, wouldn't even talk about it, like, just gloss right over it. But the church will talk about it on Facebook. And it's happening with our teenagers, guys. Like, we got to talk about it. We can't put blinders on anymore, put our heads in the sand. This generation, like, I was in high school a decade ago. They're dealing with stuff that I didn't even have to deal with. But we don't want to talk about these things. And it's like, man, it's what they're youth groups don't want to talk about it on Wednesdays. Churches don't want to talk about it on Sundays. And let's if we're going to talk about it, we have to do it in love. Let's limit our Facebook rants to once a week. Amen. Like, let's all do that together and say, "You know what? There's so many times where I've written something because I've been mad." Right? Anybody been there? Like, I'm going to get this person, or, you know. And it's like, you write it. I've wrote so many different things and then delete, like, before I even posted it. Anybody else been there? And I write that out, and I write out my opinion, right? And then it's like God saying, okay, now that you wrote that out, are you going to pray about it? Or are you going to do anything about it? Right? Because we have so many social media activists, but not too many hands and feet activists. It's near and dear to my heart. My family, man, we have to encourage one another. Be there for one another. My family have lived some crazy lives, you know, and we don't want to talk about it. We put our Sunday best on, our church clothes, and everything's... No, it's like, to get true breakthrough, we got to be real. Everybody in here has a testimony. Everybody in here has a testimony. You need to share your story because somebody needs to hear it. I brought these up just because they're near and dear to me. My mom's Bible and my dad's, because this is where I was pulling my scriptures out of. And my dad's Bible from, it's dated the year he was born, and 1957, October 11th, 1957, and it's pretty beat up, but I cherish it, and my mom's as well, and you know, but I look back on their lives, and I just thank God for bringing us through so much, but we got through it because of an encouraging and praying family, right? My dad's side of the family were believers, loved God, and they were in their corner praying for them. My dad grew up addicted to cocaine. He was, as a young teenager, was addicted to cocaine. My mom grew up. She was in and out of the home. She was at a really young age addicted to heroin. So I have both my parents dealing with drugs for most of their teenage life, most of their early 20s, and just addicted to these things, addicted to alcohol. They actually met in a bar and ended up getting married. And, you know, these are things, this is a part of my story. And everybody's like, you don't want to talk about it because this is our family stuff, right? But it's like, man, if I can share my story and if somebody can relate, like first service, the amount of people that came up and said, I have a similar story, or I'm dealing with this, or I have a family member dealing with this, but we don't want to talk about it. We have to share it. You know, my mom had an abortion as a teenager. She almost had a second. So it's near and dear to my heart when I say, like, when I want to talk about these things. And when she had that abortion as a teenager, she didn't know Jesus. She was scared to death. She was still addicted to heroin at the time. Didn't know what to do. Facebook wasn't invented yet, so she couldn't get on Facebook to see what everybody's saying about it to figure out what she needs to do. And like she was so scared of that she didn't know. And then my parents got married and they were both still addicted. And they got pregnant. And in the late 80s, the doctors would say, hey, you should probably have an abortion because you're both still addicted. The doctors didn't think that she would be able to quit. She found out she was pregnant a couple months into the pregnancy while she was still on heroin. And so the doctors are saying, no, you should probably have an abortion because they didn't really believe that she'd be able to stop, right? But again, she had a praying family. She had a praying family that were encouraging them and saying, no, you can do this. You can do this. You don't have to go down that route again. And she not only, the next day after she found out she was pregnant, quit cold turkey. And yes, she went through some withdrawals, but she had, again, people around her praying and saying, no, you can do this. She completely quit cold turkey. So I say that to say, if you're dealing with something, don't think if you don't open your heart and say, I surrender to you, God, that he can't come in and deliver you from whatever you're going through. He can't. But we got to get to a place of complete surrender. It's true surrender. My mom got to a place of saying, you know what? I can't go to anything else. Turn into Jesus. So she ends up quitting cold turkey, and not only that, but she ends up having that baby, and I'm, for one, thankful that she had that baby, because 30 years later, that baby's standing on this stage preaching about God's love. So don't tell me God can't do it, but we got to encourage one another. We have to love one another. We got to keep going. Come on. Everybody has a story. But she didn't do it alone. She had a community praying for her. They didn't judge him. My family grew up, they grew up in Grove City, Ohio, in the First Baptist Church. And they didn't judge my dad. They just prayed for him, even though he went down a crazy, crazy route. Because what was that going to do? Attacking him? No, it's going to drive him further away. Continue to pray, continue to love. And we'll do that with family. But then somebody that we don't know or somebody we don't really know their story, we're so quick to judge somebody. Man. They were praying for him. They were praying for her. They didn't judge. They kept praying, encouraging. You got this. You can do it. Keep going. And my mom, she finished her race strong. She finished her race strong because she kept her eyes set on Jesus and she had a community of believers around her encouraging her, saying, you can keep going. Keep going. Come on, we have to encourage one another. Love one another. I believe God's doing something great in this city. And we get to be a part of it. That's the most amazing thing about it. We get to be a part of what God's doing here. And the only way that we don't get to be a part of it is if we quit. If we quit, we quit trying, we just lay down. No, we got to continue. And if you see somebody quit, encourage them. Tell them to keep going. You got this. Amen. We have to do it in love. We get to be a part of it. You know, I shared last service, I still believe, and we're going to close, but I still believe in our senior pastor's vision when they first moved here, and they got off the highway, and they drove past Gulf Coast High School, and they saw the stadium completely full of youth and young adults crying out to the Lord, seeing true revival, and it's like, but we're in Naples, so how does that make sense, right? When I had some friends that, when we started the young adult ministry up in Ohio, say, hey, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because you're in Naples, Florida, starting a young adult ministry where all the youth and young adults want to leave this city. Why would you do that? Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't have to. If you get a call from God, we're moving forward with it. We're moving forward. And I found so much faith and encouragement and just be able to move forward with our senior leaders, our senior pastors. When they moved here with a call from God to see all the generations connected, praising God, revival fire, hitting the city, and all of us connected, doing it together. But here's the thing. It wouldn't make sense because it's in Naples, and literally, like, the young people say this is where old people come to die. So it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. And it doesn't have to make sense. When you know it's from God and you get a word from God and you know it's your call to go after it and to encourage one another to say, you know what? Keep on going. Come on. Well, there's greater things that are still ahead. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And we have to continue to encourage one another and push each other forward. Man, God's right in the middle of it. Like, whatever you're doing, if we just get to a place of complete surrender, that's it. It's surrender. It's surrender. We ask Jesus to come into our heart as Lord and Savior. Say, we want him as Savior to get to heaven. Do we want him as Lord so he can be Lord over our life on this earth? Right? Oh, it's surrender. When you truly see people get free. That's what it was for me. I didn't know any better. When I first came to youth group, in youth ministry, I remember the altar call where I gave my life to Jesus. My youth pastor was talking about something about surrender, and if you're dealing with something, lay it at the altars. I had marijuana in my back pocket. I didn't know any better. I came to the altars and laid it at the altar. And you do that now, and the cops are going to get called and everything. No, it's like, no, I wanted to be free. I didn't want to carry these things anymore. It's okay to get a little radical. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And there can be a lot of death spoken over our city, but I believe we're alive more than ever. And we're going to see God. We're going to see God do amazing things in this city. Amen. Come on, everybody get up on your feet. Can we give God some praise if you believe that? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for it. I believe it. I believe it, but we got to continue to encourage each other. It's encouragement, and to do so in love, in love. You see someone struggling, come on, keep going. Don't judge somebody through social media. Just pray for one another. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.